Holy Hour of Power, two-man car, Jess Romero, Terry Barber,
man.
Reporting for duty. Sir, what about you, Terry?
I'm reporting for duty, Jesse. I'm a happy camper. God is good. I'm looking forward to our interview with this high-powered lawyer regarding a letter to the American Church, meaning Protestant and Catholic. I know Bishop Strickland has already endorsed that letter on the Bishop Strickland show, so let's get into that. But also, Jesse, we call it the need-to-know file. This is very interesting. Leaked messages show top pro-LGBT doctors know that the transfer of hormones to try and change a man to a woman caused cancer and even death. So,
wow.
You know, they're coming out. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, Jesse, when you think about when you mess with Mother Nature, you're going to pay a price. And, you know, this is not surprising. Also, another study, when we had the COVID lockdown, who were the people that handled the lockdown the best? Was it Joe Secular? No. Was it women? No. Was it men? No. You know who it was? Religious people who loved the Lord Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good. I just think that it just shows again how our faith affects us. And just quick note, I had a guy yesterday who went to high school with me and my brother. He's now 70 years old, and he was telling me outside the bank, "Hey, man, life sucks. Because I didn't think it was going to be like this when I got old. I can't even get up and do my golf. I can't do anything. Why is that?" So I said, "Dude, have you ever heard of original sin?" And I said, "You see the hair? It's gone. That's God showing me that this life is short and eternity is forever." Dude, Jesse, I spent about 7 or 8 minutes with him trying to get him back to the Catholic Church. I have no idea if he's going to come back. But you know what, Jesse? The guy is definitely depressed because he thought he could live forever here. I mean, come on. But you see, that's the culture we're living in. That's why you and I and Virgin Most Powerful proclaim the gospel every day.
Terry, one thing I would recommend, I know you have the recording.
Yes.
Probably in the archive.
Yes.
You have a recording where Matthew Arnold goes through the Baltimore Catechism.
Oh, yeah.
It's an hour.
Yeah.
Terry, that should be sent to every diocese, every Catholic. How can people get that recording?
Well, it's a DVD, folks. It's called Our Catholic Faith. We use sacred art to show people the Catholic faith. You just can go on to CRC, which we call CatholicRC.org's website. CatholicRC.org website. Type in Matthew Arnold, and it'll be there called Our Catholic Faith. This is what you show to young children. It's powerful.
Yeah, that's every Catholic in the U.S. should watch that, because it's just, that's what people need. It's just basic.
That's
they don't
right.
need deep theology, Terry.
No.
God then doesn't want to make people theologians. He wants to make people children. He wants to make people holy. That's
Amen.
What he wants.
Well said.
Hey, the month of March is dedicated to St. Joseph. This month falls during the entire liturgical season of Lent, and so let's pray St. Joseph, pray for us. Couple of news items I want to mention.
Sure.
Number one, the Trump-Biden sweep Tuesday in primaries.
Yeah.
So former President Trump and President Joe Biden are heading for a rematch in November after last night's Super Tuesday results.
Yep.
So that's what we'll be dealing with for the next couple of months. Also, Planned Parenthood is accused of selling baby body parts.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, surprise. Planned Parenthood is allegedly transferring proprietary aborted baby body parts to the University of San Diego in exchange for ownership of the university's patents and intellectual property created through experiments. The Center for Medical Progress, that's James O'Keefe's organization, discovered the contract via a public records request. Also, the federal court just says that President Biden can't force transgenders on employers.
Good.
So a federal judge from North Dakota, common sense piece of judicial decision, ruled that the Biden administration cannot force Christian companies, organizations, and groups to pay for children to be subjected to so-called gender-affirming care. Also, we have Prayer to the Rescue. This is a good news item. I love this one.
Good.
A firefighter who saved the driver of a semi-truck that was dangling off a bridge over the Ohio River last week said that he prayed with the driver during the mid-air rescue.
That is awesome.
He said, quote, I heard her already pray. I knew it, but I said, are you a praying woman? I am. I said, all right, well, start praying for both of us. And so we started praying together. So it was good. It was calming. Also, exclusive.
Yeah.
Senator Marco Rubio demands that Biden condemn anti-Catholic violence. Senator Rubio is a Republican from Florida. Senator, he wrote to Biden urging him to condemn the hundreds of violence attacks on Catholic churches in the past few years. He says, quote, I demand you condemn the growing number of attacks on Catholic
400 of them
and make combating these incidents an urgent priority of your administration by prosecuting each and every offender to the fullest extent of the law. And finally, Biden is covering for anti-Catholic violence. Yes, he is.
Yep.
A shocking report reveals Biden is covering for anti-Christian hate groups who have attacked hundreds of Catholic churches since 2020. And we can expect more attacks on Catholic churches. We have not seen a single federal prosecution of these attacks, says Catholic Vote.
Yeah, don't hold your breath, Jesse, because we no, really, this guy, he's really...
He's anti-Catholic.
Yeah, and he's Catholic, baptized Catholic. And you know what? Sometimes, Jesse, those are the worst anti-Catholics.
Oh.
The ones inside the church, right? Falling away. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I want to give a kudos to the Arizona bishops.
Just, again, man.
I got to do it again.
Strickland.
All the Arizona bishops have signed a letter to all the Catholics in the state of Arizona, and they're saying, do not sign the pro-abortion access act that the leftist Democrats in Arizona with this NGO called Mi Familia Vota. They're trying to put this and enshrine this into the Arizona state constitution like they did in Ohio. And so when it comes up, when it's put on the ballot, all the Arizona bishops are saying, do not sign this pro-abortion bill.
Beautiful.
This abortion bill that allows people to kill their babies in Arizona all 9 months.
And you know, Jesse, California.
Kudos to the bishop.
Exactly. I wish we could have had that done in California. So yes, it is extraordinary. And again, that's their job. They're protecting the flock. So thank you very much. Jesse, unless you got anything more, let's get some soul food in our souls, brother.
Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening.
Yep.
Today's Holy Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 19.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to his disciples, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill.
Yeah.
Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, now this is to anybody who teaches, Terry, any teacher or catechist or any bishop or priest.
Yeah.
Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm just thinking about official teachers like bishops and priests.
Yeah.
Again, somebody, Cardinal Dolan, said himself in an interview, he goes, I don't think I've ever preached on contraception in 40 years. Then he laughed, you know, the belly laugh that he had.
Yeah.
And, you know, he thought it was kind of funny. He goes, you know, maybe I should start after 40 years. You also have documents, official documents from the Vatican saying that you can receive Holy Communion, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, in a second marriage without the benefit of a of an annulment in the first marriage. You have priests that are... They're not blessing homosexuals separately. They're blessing them together,
yeah,
holding hands. You've got, Terry, these are the official teachers of the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments,
yeah,
and teaches others to do so will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. My boots, Terry, man, I just quake in my boots,
yeah,
just thinking about an official teacher of the Catholic Church teaching error,
yeah,
and thinking that they can change the deposit of faith,
mm-hmm,
after 2,000 years that we have to catch up with modern times. We have to, you know, we have to be liked by the Masons. We have to be liked by the Muslims. We have to be liked by the Marxists as well. We got to get along with people and just accompany them. So we have to just, you know, move the doctrinal furniture around. Whoa, that's who Christ is talking to in today's gospel.
Wow, Jesse, and one quick comment. I think of the souls that are being affected adversely because shepherds aren't preaching the gospel. And we also have a microphone in our front of our mouth. We also are accountable for not compromising the faith either. We can't lower the bar. All right. And someone that never lowers the bar is Archbishop Sheen. Let's bring him into the studio. Full steam ahead. Jesse, he talks on meditation. Bishop Sheen says, meditation is more advanced spiritual act than saying prayers. It may be likened to the attitude of a child who breaks into the presence of the mother saying, I'll not say a word if you just let me stay here and watch you. Or as a soldier once told a cure of ours, John Vianney, I just stand here before the tabernacle. He looks at me and I look at him. Hey, let's get in front of the tabernacle, folks. Let's be with the presence of Christ during Lent and throughout our life. We want to be a Eucharistic church in this year of revival. When we come back, got a great, attorney who's got some great things to say to the American church. Stay with us. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back. We're back, Jesse. Our guest, I'm not sure if it's on yet, but let's talk a little bit about this letter to the American church. Set the
Absolutely.
Stage.
So we're going to be talking to Nicole Pearson. She's a Catholic and an attorney. Mm-hmm. There's a new documentary. It's called Letter to the American Church. Mm-hmm. It's based on Eric Metaxas' best-selling book of the same name. And it chronicles the attempted Marxist takeover of the American church, something, Terry, that you and me have been talking about for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And this Marxist takeover of the American church, both Catholic and Protestant and Orthodox, is putting millions of people in peril. And the video argues that the church's decision to stay out of politics, it undermines the church's power to transform every sphere of human existence. And the church's tepid response to the LGBTQ movement and COVID-19 pandemic, they're just two of the topics that this documentary is going to address. So, Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip, please? It's very short.
I'm convinced that the American church has arrived at a significant moment of truth.
We are only 75, 80 years removed from three separate regimes that killed 60 to 70 million people intentionally.
The parallels with where the American church is now to where the German church stood in the face of the Nazi regime are unavoidable and grim.
Churches need to understand really what Marxism is, which is to destroy the church, to destroy the word of God.
So if you capture the seminaries, you capture the pastors, you capture the laity, you capture the soul of the world.
Christianity is not just about saying Jesus loves you and then going to heaven one day, but that there's a war that's raging.
The church is weakening, which is why Marxism is ascendant in America today.
This is the hour of the American church.
That video is It's speaking to everybody in America, Catholics, Protestants, the Orthodox.
Oh, yeah.
This is a video that was based on a book written by Eric Metaxas, a best-selling book. And I see Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
We're blessed.
Great, great. This is a huge topic. This is not a micro topic. This is a macro topic because it's affecting all of us here in this country. I dare say worldwide. This behemoth called Marxism. So, Nicole, the movie talks a lot about the German church in the 1930s in relation to today's religious political climate, and in the book, and now in the film. So what parallels can you describe to us, or do you see, And why is Germany the most relevant example? Why is Germany a micro example of a macro problem now?
Well, I actually think, first of all, thank you guys for having me here. I'm so excited about this project. It's so important. I think that Germany is always a very poignant example of something that people, it's relatively recent that people learned about, studied about in schools and have some sort of understanding. However, the book and also the film discuss China and discuss Maoism. I mean, this is a playbook that has been in place for centuries. And so, you know, hopefully everybody watches the film, reads the book. I thought the book was phenomenal. But truly the parallelism of what they are doing, the breaking down of the nuclear family, the government trying to interject or insert itself in between children and their parents, which we see happening so clearly right now in society, especially with children in schools, public and private, secular and religious. It's just lockstep what Marxists and communists have been doing again for centuries.
Wow. Nicole, if you don't mind, I want to just introduce your background. I want people to know who you are.
Sure.
Nicole Pearson. The one thing that has always mattered most to Nicole is people and how they feel, what they need, and how she can help them. As a young girl, this meant organizing donation drives, initiating recycling programs, co-founding the nonprofit organizations, mentoring inner city teens, and coaching up and coming young advocates. In law school, Nicole discovered her love of the law. While studying the Constitution, she lovingly became the girl who cried about the First Amendment. I love that. Because dictators have a right to nonviolent, irreproachable, non-profane free speech too, and channeled her passion into studying law that supported these basic principles and freedoms. Nicole's appreciation for this country and its founding principles came from her abuelita. I said that right because I can speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Her abuelita, who escaped fascism and ultimately immigrated from Argentina to the United States after losing it all in order to build a better, safer life for her children. So her professional career, Nicole Pearson, our guest today, after graduating UCLA with honors, Nicole graduated from Loyola Law School as a scholar and moot court champion and began representing businesses and employers throughout the world. Quickly, however, she realized that advocating her voiceless employees was her actual calling. Therefore, using her experience defending employers, she harnessed her desire to advocate for those in need and launched the law office of Nicole Pearson in 2015. Good for you, Nicole. In 2021, Nicole pivoted her law office to rise up against the coordinated assault by politicians, special interest groups, and private entities emboldened by the government on our children's individual liberties. Since that time, her firm and advocacy group, Facts, Law, Truth, Justice, has been at the forefront of the fight to defend basic principles of limited government, love it, checks and balances, and personal autonomy necessary for a free and healthy society. Wow, Terry, sounds like Catholic social teaching. Nicole's career has been marked by a passion for facts, law, truth, and justice, a zeal for tackling and winning legal challenges, and an insatiable drive to protect the vulnerable. Her broad legal experience encompasses employment, discrimination, race, religion, pregnancy, disability, marital status, leave, harassment, retaliation, and wrongful termination, civil rights violations, Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act, Americans with Disabilities, and constitutional issues. She has personally taken these claims through every stage of litigation and practices before state and federal courts, including the Central District of California. Terry, I'm glad she's on our team, Terry.
I am too. I want to sign her up with retainer. She's my kind of lawyer. God love you. Nicole, I got a question. What
Sure.
are some significant events in our nation's regression towards anti-Christian thought?
Well, I personally, what I've seen, what we've discussed with Eric and with, hopefully you're familiar also with James Lindsay and Charlie Kirk,
of course,
Rob McCoy, this conversation, I'm so grateful to be having this conversation with you because it seems to be happening As a Catholic, it seems to be happening stronger and more frequently in Christian churches and Presbyterian churches.
Right.
And so grateful to be having this conversation here. But that specifically, that type of silence, that deafening silence, I don't know where to begin. I'm from Argentina. I'm Latin.
Wow.
We see the Pope. We have a situation with the Pope. I don't even know where to start. All I know is that when COVID happened,
yes,
we are supposed to go to our religious leaders and we're supposed to rely on our communities and our churches as sanctuaries and beacons for hope and for peace and, for perseverance. They shut their doors.
I know.
They refused and they hid behind a principle, separation of church and state.
Yep.
That has been bastardized and completely manipulated. That doesn't even apply. That, like, truly someone who's taken his history 101 knows the reason why. I mean, that's what you learned that in fifth grade in your American history class.
Yes.
You learned that the reason why there's separation of church and state is because we don't want the king to be the head of the church so that he could change the tenets and the books and the rules to fit his, personal dalliances and needs. I mean, it's so simple. And yet we had leaders of the church who didn't want to step into the fray for the communities that they have promised to protect. And I don't know why. I have lots of reasons why. I've seen it happening for a very, very long time. Again, as a Catholic, I have been extremely disappointed by the leadership for many, many, many years. There have been a lot of compromises, and I think I know why, but I don't know personally.
Yeah.
So it'd be a conspiracy theory at this point. So I'd prefer
well,
just leave it at that.
Can I just say this, Nicole? You're well, in our little,
you're in good company.
You're in good company because we have the same sentiments. And you know what? We always tell our listeners, just stick to the perennial teachings of the church. And just remember one thing. We worship Jesus Christ, not a priest, not a bishop, not the Pope. And I think that once we stay focused on Jesus Christ, these things are going to happen. We've had church history. The fourth century was a tough time.
We've had bad popes before.
Yeah, we've had bad popes before. We've got to just keep
keeping
our faith. But thanks for answering that question, Jesse.
Yeah. So, Nicole, how can people be sure that the United States has been given a special calling by God as opposed to acquiring its power through force? Does this belief make Americans act superior to others? I know there's been, people, historians that have... And like Ronald Reagan had a real... a high view of America.
Oh, yeah.
A hill. City set on a hill.
Right. Yeah.
I think there is something special about this country. I forget where I read it, that the U.S. Constitution is the only constitution on planet Earth that mentions God, that references God.
And that the powers come from God, no other one.
Yeah, in 193 countries. So that does make it special in some sense. That does give it a leadership role, or as Reagan said, a city set on a hill. So what say you, Nicole?
Well, I to answer your question about it was like a two part question. I'll object that it's compound, but to to the latter half of the question, I don't think that we are superior in this. We feel that we're superior in the sense of looking down on others, but I think there is a sense of, again, like we were mentioning just now, tranquility or confidence. I would say confidence, because you know that the ultimate power rests with the Lord, and that the principles that you are living by they're not invented by man, right? They have this truth, this eternal truth that isn't going to change. That is, again, eternal, that has its basis in something far greater than any of us. So I think that gives us confidence, and it gives us ease and peace when we are conducting ourselves or moving throughout the national and international community. So I wouldn't say that we think that we're morally superior, but it's maybe that's the feeling that people I have heard comment on that. And I think that is what has made this country the greatest nation in the world, because if we do follow those basic tenets and those basic principles, then we will always be advocating for humanity. We will always be advocating for what is right and just and good. And so you will always succeed if that is your ultimate, if that is your ultimate authority and those are your ultimate goals and values. You will always be the greatest, whether as an individual, you will always be the greatest in your home and your community, in your workplace.
Let me jump in, Nicole. We got a quick break. We'll come back with Nicole Pearson. Talk about religious liberty. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We have Nicole Pearson here as attorney. I love your zeal. I just want you to know that. I talk to a lot of attorneys who are very erudite. And not that you're not erudite. But, I mean,
no, that's okay.
Your smile. It's a small form of enthusiasm. Yeah. God is in you. I can see that you love the Lord. Yeah. And thank you for that.
Yeah.
Now, the question I have, Nicole, is how would you define religious liberty? And how has the term been misinterpreted over time?
Well, I'd also like to say I love children, and children are a gift from God. Amen. And that's why there was this attack on children. I mean, it's just so obvious. Even last night, I know this isn't your question,
but let's go.
I went to a great event with Billy DeMoss. He's a chiropractor here in Orange County, and Dr. Jeff Barkey. And he's not religious, but he said this is a demonic satanic. He's not religious.
Wow.
He's not Catholic.
Yeah.
He's like, this is a demonic satanic attack on children.
Absolutely.
And on the nuclear family and Jeff Barkey as well. And not just on the, you know, he focuses a lot. Are we a private, can I say trigger words here? Like the V word, like vaccines.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's focused on vaccines. He's a chiropractor. He's homeopathic, holistic doctor.
Yeah.
And he talks about not only are they, you know, maiming children and murdering children with these vaccines, but they are also, you know, when you have an autistic child, which the data has been hidden, the data has literally been destroyed. There are whistleblowers that show, and I know we don't want to get, might not want to get here in this interview. We can come back for a different time.
Sure.
But when you have an injured child, caused by pharmaceuticals, pharmakia, which again is sorcery,
drugs
and interventions, that creates such a stress on the family. I think the statistic is 86% or more of couples who have a child who has been injured result in divorce. So we have this spiritual warfare. We have this attack on the nuclear family coming at us in so many different ways.
Amen.
So, but in terms of, and it's just the children, it's so obvious. It's abortion.
It's
gender. It's COVID-19. And if people understand, if we can, and it's important for people to understand, it's fluoride. It's in our water. It's so many things. If people can understand that the government is not here to protect you, it is not here to help you. It is here to control you, to track you. We saw this in COVID. For as horrible as COVID was, it exposed so much. The government does not care about your health. They do not care if you live or if you die. They don't care if you get sick. In fact, it's actually, they would prefer that you die. But if you get sick, even better, because now you're a patient that is now in the medical industrial complex and will remain a patient for years and years to come, making them billions and trillions of dollars. So I call it the Trojan horse of issues and of hot button topics. So it used to be COVID. You couldn't, you know, question COVID as you were anti-science, grandma killer, and, you know, a Trump MAGA supporter. And now, right now, the Trojan horse is gender affirming care. If you question that, you're a transphobe. You're
spot
a bigot. You want children to kill themselves, you know, and so it goes on and on. So and a reason why I mentioned that it goes to religious freedom.
Okay, I'm following
you. You can understand the playbook.
Yeah.
That we can truly unite as humanity to take this system down and really free ourselves and then really be able to express and to exercise our religious liberties. But what happens is we don't see it. We see it's only about COVID. It's only about Black Lives Matter. It's only about these transgender children. And so we continue to allow them to put us into boxes, which then prevent us from, you know, exercising and enjoying our constitutionally protected God-given rights and fundamental freedom. So religious liberty is twofold. One, it's expression, and one, it's your ability to believe and then your ability to express and practice. And so there's an establishment clause. So there's different provisions. I don't know which part you're talking about, but in the United States, you have the freedom to believe whatever religious beliefs you want, and then be able to express them without government interference. And if the government does impose any regulations or rules or procedures or policies that in any way curtail or impact your ability to exercise your religious beliefs, then they have to meet strict scrutiny, which is the highest level of scrutiny, and they must have a compelling reason or interest in doing so. And then they must try to achieve that interest in the most narrowly tailored and least restrictive means. So, of course, there are instances where the government may need to implement some sort of a policy that sure. might touch upon your exercise, but it has to be very, very, very focused so that it affects that ability in the least way possible, the littlest way possible.
And Nicole, we have religious liberty on paper, but in actuality, when the left is in power, like right now,
right, we
don't. I mean, you have... You know, Biden sending, you know, his Gestapo FBI to arrest pro-life activists at their home.
Totally. Yeah.
You have, you have bubble zones in front of abortion clinics mm-hmm. to harass people of faith that are there just to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, former President Barack Obama sued the Little Sisters of the Poor because they refused to offer birth control to their hospital employees.
Yep.
You've had different Catholic orphanages that have been harassed by Democrat legislators for not allowing homosexuals to adopt children. So on paper, we have religious liberty. But in fact, when the left is in power, they do everything they can to try to encroach upon our religious liberty.
And if I can add one thing to you, Nicole, Ronald Reagan said this years ago. He said, this is the most dangerous words you're going to hear. The government is here to help you. No, I'm
from the government. I'm here to help you.
I'm here to help you. And I thought when you were discussing this, I'm thinking, this is Ronald Reagan's comments. Now, again, I'm not opposed to government actions on certain things but they've overstepped it. Let's just be honest. Jess, your turn.
Go ahead. I totally agree that there's an outright attack. I mean, we have, I think it's 6 of the 11 pro-life advocates who are facing federal prison.
Yes, they are.
It's disgusting. I mean, there's nothing, I can't disagree with you. You know, I was helping our friends who were in Las Vegas. I don't know if you saw that, but there's the pro-life Spider-Man and he climbed.
Yes, of course. We talked about it.
And the Hurleys are personal friends of mine. AJ Hurley with the White Rose Resistance is it's a pro-life, anti-abortion, whatever you want to call it right now, anti-murder organization. Yeah. And he was filming and they put him in jail and we were helping them as well. And they were just trying to raise money for a mom who had chosen life. I mean, there is no dispute that exactly what you said is there on paper.
Yeah.
But I will say that there is the tide is turning.
Good.
I think that people are getting sick of everything that we've been talking about. And we've seen, for example, in several key decisions that have been coming down from courts in California, even in federal courts. So like the district courts, not the state courts, which are very compromised. But we've seen the protection of religious liberties and freedoms and expression of teachers specifically, where we see the schools that were asking them to violate their religious beliefs and also force them. It's also not just religious free, you know, the First Amendment covers free speech, but also the free exercise of religion. And then those, your ability to freely develop and have your own beliefs. And so they were requiring teachers to keep secrets from parents regarding their child's gender confusion. So not only was it requiring those teachers to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs, that being they don't, you know, no child is born, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes.
Right.
You are born perfectly whole. You are born perfect, you know, all of those beliefs, or they don't believe in transgenderism at all.
Right.
They were fired for refusing to keep secrets from these parents. So the courts have consistently come down in favor of those teachers. And so, you know, we just have to keep standing up for truth and what is right. And
praise God.
And those teachers were brave. And you can't, I understand that there's an attack. We just have to keep going. We can't stop fighting.
Amen.
I know.
Amen. Nicole, so what's a church, what is a church supposed to be in relation to the rest of the world? I think
what
you're going
to
say
to be.
Yeah.
I think what we discussed in the beginning, and I think it's supposed to be a beacon of hope and of security and of truth and justice. And it's, I hesitate to use that word justice because we have seen such a perversion of that. The left is so good at controlling the language and spinning compassion and equity and access and weaponizing those words so that now, you know, a mom or a community that wants to support a child, you know, castrating himself, or, you know, a young girl, you know, lobbing off her breasts, or, you know, mutilating themselves and sterilizing themselves at the ripe age of 14, where they don't have the prefrontal cortex development or capacity to literally, you don't until you're 25 have the brain capacity to appreciate risks and benefits and be able to weigh them. And that's what we used to justify laws that prevent children under the age of 18 from getting their teeth cleaned, from getting a tattoo, from getting pierced, from enrolling in the army, in the military. And yet we have 14-year-olds or adults allowing 14-year-olds to make these life-altering, irreversible medical decisions. My point is the left has a way of spinning the language and reality, distorting reality, so that now those parents are compassionate, whereas I'm not a compassionate person because I don't think a child should be making those kinds of decisions at the age of 14. So, you know, I think that the church just needs to stick to the truth, to stick to reality, to stick to history, to stick what's in the book. And to be fearless, they need.
You
to
sound like
fearless.
Bishop Joseph Strickland.
I know we have a couple hours a week. We do. As a matter of fact, when we're done, I'll have 2 hours with Bishop Strickland from 1 to 3, and he does. Oh, yeah. He says, "I just speak the truth in charity,"
right?
Yeah. And that's what I hear from you, Nicole. How can people watch? Because this is something I want a couple times to be said.
Yeah.
How can people watch this film and learn more about your work? Because I'm stoked right now. I'm all fired up.
Yep.
Well, if they go to the letter to the American Church.com, you can sign up you can order the book on Amazon. You can order it through the website. You can also sign up to host a viewing party. We have an incredible team, and we can even help you if you want to host it. I think we're requiring right now, because we're getting so many requests, that you have at least 15 people that will be watching it with you if you're watching it at home. But also, we will help you set up an event at your church. So we, and by the way, your temple, your mosque, some of our biggest supporters have been Jewish community leaders. This is about truth.
I believe
and
it.
Truth transcends even religion. Truth and goodness and protecting children and the sanctity of human life transcends all religions. So we have Jewish leaders who are reaching out to us, and we have been showing this in temples and in synagogues. So lettertotheamericanchurch.com.
Awesome. When we come back, Nicole, we're going to talk about some more questions for you. We're loving this show, and I know our listeners are. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Nicole Pearson is our guest here. Man, are we fired up about this movie, the book. Nicole, I'm going to ask Jesse to ask the next question, but I mean, we could have you here for hours, but let's do it, Jess.
Lettertotheamericanchurch.com, lettertotheamericanchurch.com. It's a movie and it's a book as well. We've got Nicole Pearson here.
Amen.
I'm just glad to see this collaboration of all religions on that. You know what? It's based on natural law.
Exactly.
That's what it is. We're basically rallying around natural law given to us by God. Period.
Amen.
And so what does it mean to speak the truth in love, Nicole?
Yeah.
What does it mean? I mean, are you saying what does it to me, that's everything? Because if what we were just discussing, the left has this ability to twist and manipulate and bastardize. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, you know what? It truly, at this point in our society and our history, it is the most important thing that we have to do as Christians, as Catholics, as religious leaders, as community leaders. We have to go back to the basics and speak the truth, because we're losing the battle. Well, we were losing the battle. I think, as I mentioned, I think the tide has changed, has turned, and I think everything is shifting now because they went too far. But we have got to stick to the truth, because if we don't have those poles in the ground, then you can't have it. Like I mentioned, you read in my bio, a healthy functioning society, because right now they're telling children, and they're even telling adults, and adults are believing this, that when you look, or when a baby comes out of the womb, and I'm sorry to say this on your show, I don't know if it's PG-13.
Yeah.
But that child has a penis.
Yeah.
That child, they're trying to tell you that that child is not male.
It's
not
ridiculous.
XY chromosome. Yeah. With small gametes.
Yeah.
And if the baby comes out with a vagina, that right. she's not a female. And if we can't
figure that out,
society where up is up and black is black and white is white, and that a penis means a male and a vagina.
Of course.
It's so uncomfortable to say, but if we can't, and we can't, and we tell our children, again, it goes to the children, that when you look at that person and that person is tall and, you know, broad shoulders and has a beard sure. and speaks this way, that actually might not be a man. Oh, and actually yesterday he was a man, but today he's a woman. It's intentional. It is to confuse and create chaos and discord.
Yes.
So that, again, they can try and put us in boxes, to pit us against each other, to be fighting against each other. So we're not paying attention to what they're doing. And in that way, they continue to fragment society again, in order to control, track, monitor, kill us. And then for those of us who survive, to make billions and trillions of dollars on our lives and our health and our health and our children, because we have inadvertently been shunted into a system that we otherwise never would have consented to, but they were able to slide it through while we were busy fighting.
And Nicole, just a quick note. We said this today, one of the LGBT doctors who does all these sex transfers, he acknowledged that the people who do this have cancer causing problems, because when you mess with Mother Nature, you know,
right.
God forgives, but Mother Nature never forgives.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Have you, I don't know if you're familiar with Michael Schellenberger and his work, but he just dropped, they call it the proverbial drop on X, the WPATH files. It's the World Professional Association of Transgender Health. And it is exactly what myself, I have also been working with. I'm on the executive committee of the protectkidsca.com. That's the website, the Protect Kids of California ballot initiative.
Thank you.
Which banned the sterilization and mutilation of children,
yes.
and also repeal a law that allows men to be in girls' spaces, and then also require that schools to notify parents when their children are suffering from mental health issues, including but not limited to gender confusion.
Yeah.
But we've been working on this, and we are very familiar with Dr. Miriam Grossman and Abigail Shriver and Chloe Cole, and we work with detransitioners. But Michael Schellenberger will also be working with him. And he just exposed, he got a whistleblower.
Good.
And everything that we've been talking about, we have the victims of this, like you mentioned, but we didn't have the files like they have with, from Pfizer, for example, that Aaron Seary and ICANN and Big Tree have, of the vaccine injuries and the ingredients and the clinical data. We didn't have that. Well, now we have that. And he's literally blowing the lid off of gender affirming care and truly just the transgender lie. It's a lie. And so it's all being exposed, which is why we have to stand in truth and just know that the only person who can judge us, the only one's opinion who truly matters, is our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, you just have to stand in the truth and be confident in that. And just, and that's what keeps me going, because I know what I'm doing is right. And the vitriol and the attacks on me and my family, and they've been, truly horrifying, but that doesn't matter to me. So we have to keep going.
Thank you.
You're standing on what Jesus Christ says, build your foundation upon the rock, and the rock is Christ.
Amen.
Nicole, so this battle's going to be won. It's going to be an ecumenical effort. At this point, we don't have time to talk about our doctrinal differences with a Jew or Muslim or Protestant.
Oh.
Right now, we are bound together by natural law. We are bound together by the Ten Commandments. We are bound together by God, our Creator. So how should Christian viewers respond to other believers who sincerely believe that socialism reflects the love and unity of the gospel?
Well, I would ask them where social, I mean, it's so interesting. The countries that have the largest, not extinctions, but the countries that have killed the most of citizens are socialist countries.
Of course.
I mean, we're talking about 10 million, 20 million, 40 million. I mean, the numbers are astronomical. If you look at socialist countries in history, throughout history, but certainly even just look at Venezuela, what's happening in Venezuela right now. I mean, people are starving in the streets.
Cuba.
How is that? Yeah. How is that compassionate? How is that caring? So, I mean, I would just point to history, and then I would even point to current, you know, politics and current events that show that socialism is not, is, I mean, and then you look at China. I mean, they're throwing people in. I mean, they have what, 500,000, I think now? They have 500,000 missing people that they're throwing, burning alive in incinerators. I mean, that's communism at work.
Nicole, what is the biggest takeaway from the letter to the American church that our viewers need to understand?
Our viewers need to understand that what is happening is not new. It's history. Yeah. It's historical fact. Mm-hmm. And those who do not remember or choose to forget or not to remember the past are destined to repeat it. And we are on the precipice of repeating history if we don't stand up now and stand in the truth. And it's specifically a message to the church, because what they did, for example, in Nazi Germany was they went after church leaders because they understood how important churches are, or religious buildings and communities were. That's where the family is. That's where these values are. That's where you go weekly and you check in and you hold yourselves accountable to whether or not you are walking that path of your religious beliefs. And so they went after those because, again, they want to sow discord and confusion. You don't know what's up and up and down. You thought that the Catholic Church meant it, or being Catholic meant this, and that you would do this, and this is how you show compassion. But now all of a sudden the church leaders are being silent. And now actually we have the Pope saying the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So they have gone after the churches specifically because they know that religious organizations are the pillars of the community. That is what keeps countries and communities afloat. But specifically, in my opinion, you know, Christian faith-based, you know, religious organizations, specifically, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
But that's why they go after them, because they know they give hope, they give security, and then they give that, and that critical foundation, that moral foundation, that is what is required and necessary for, again, societies and communities to thrive.
Well said.
You know, we need another Winston Churchill in the White House.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, this is a Churchill moment. I'm telling you, we got the, just like the Germany Nazi war machine was, you know, destroying one country after another. We need a Churchillian person, and I know who that is, and I'm going to his house in 2 weeks in Mar-a-Lago with hundreds of Catholics, and we're going to just bathe that property with the rosary, hundreds of Catholics, and we're going to affirm him, and we're going to let him know that we're going to do everything that we can in our power as lay Catholic leaders to put him back in the White House, because he is our Churchill right now. And let's just be honest, we got to take the gloves off. Because we're witnessing the destruction of Western civilization by the secular liberal Democratic Party.
Call it for what it is.
And it's time that we tell them to get their jackboot off our neck. And it's time that we put in the rightful man in the rightful place. The right man in the right time is Donald Trump.
Why don't you really tell me what you think, Jesse? Nicole, I love your zeal. I want people to, again, how can they go to your website one more time before we have to go?
So Letter to the American Church is where they can find this. I think this is probably one of the most important videos. Regardless of your religious affiliation, please watch this to understand history. Eric and his team did such an incredible job of laying out the facts, laying out the history, explaining it, and then drawing parallelisms to exactly what is happening. If you are confused about what's going on with your children in schools, in their sports, in your churches or your synagogues or your temples, this explains it all. So just for no other reason than just to understand and regain some of your sanity, please go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com and please sign up to host a watch party. There's a reason we require 15 people at least if you're doing a private showing, because we want this message to get out as quickly as possible. We need to spread it like a wildfire because we are on the precipice of a communist, you know, Marxist takeover. So lettertotheamericanchurch.com.
And Nicole, Bishop Strickland is saying Mass at our church here in Covina on the 17th of March. That's the feast of St. Patrick. Yeah. I am going to personally call and ask if we could show that movie while he's here.
That would be amazing.
We're going to do it.
That would be amazing.
I said it on the air. Now I got to do it.
Now you have to do it.
Hey, Nicole, listen to this. I'm going to ask Jesse at every show we do a question. Listen to this. Jesse Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live and die in a state of grace. Don't live and die in a state of mortal sin. Pray your rosary every day. Go to Mass as often as possible. Read your Bible every day. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
And I might add, Our Lady of Fatima said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our country. Let's offer it all up in union with Jesus Christ, especially at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Remember what Colossians, we can unite our sufferings with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. Sign Amen. Me up.
Yeah.
Nicole, I just want to thank you, and I hope this isn't the first and last time we will have you on our show. You're right in our backyard here at Virgin Most Powerful. God bless you, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
God love you. Hey, up next, Bishop Fulton J. No, not Bishop Sheen. How about Bishop Joseph Strickland up next? The rosary's coming. Stay with us. We'll be right back.